The Old Testament reading for the 23rd Sunday after Trinity is written in Proverbs chapter 8. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule, and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true, and teach the way of God truthfully. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson, Matthew 22, 15 to 22. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know the principle as the separation of church and state. In English, this term is an offshoot of the phrase wall of separation between church and state, as written in Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist Association in 1802. In that letter, referencing the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, Jefferson writes, quote, "Believing with you that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God, that he owes account to none other for his faith and his worship, that the legitimate powers of government reach actions only and not opinions, I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people, which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state." End of quote. This was Jefferson's interpretation of the establishment and free exercise phrases in the First Amendment, and it continues to be the basis of much American jurisprudence today. You should not be surprised to find that Martin Luther had a similar idea, although he didn't put it in the same words. His concern in the 16th century was how the Pope and the Christian Church often, in many different ways, interfered with the secular government, or what he called the temporal authorities. Listen to Luther's own words in his treatise to the Christian nobility of 1520. I quote, "It should be decreed that no temporal matter is to be referred to Rome, but that all such cases shall be left to the temporal authority, as the Romanists themselves prescribe in that canon law of theirs, which they do not observe. It should be the Pope's duty to be the most learned in the scriptures and the holiest person, and to regulate matters which concern the faith and holy life of Christians. Spiritual authorities should rule over matters which are spiritual. This is just a matter of common sense. But spiritual matters are not money or material things. They are faith and good works. The Pope should have no authority over the emperor except the right to anoint and crown him. We should never again yield to that devilish pride which requires the emperor to kiss the Pope's feet. Still less should the emperor do homage and swear faithful allegiance to the Pope as the popes brazenly demand." End of quote. You should not be surprised to find that both Luther and Jefferson got their ideas about the separation of church and state from Jesus. We know about Jesus' teaching in this matter because the Pharisees in our gospel today asked him a trick question. The trick question was, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, this question was designed to make Jesus offend and alienate many people. If he had said, it is not lawful to pay taxes, then the Roman authorities would have arrested Jesus for treasonous activity. If he had said, it is lawful to pay taxes, you must pay your taxes, then he would alienate the people who hated paying taxes and who hated the tax collectors. Even their own people who were tax collectors, they hated with a vengeance. Why did the people hate paying taxes? Well, they hated them partly because the money went to Rome to support the Roman armies, to support the luxurious life of the emperor and senators, and to feed the mob in the city of Rome with corn from Egypt. But they also hated taxes because, really, nobody enjoys paying taxes, do you? Nobody would pay taxes if it was purely voluntary. The only people that are really in favor of taxes are those who benefit from them. Just think about it. Who's always asking for more taxes? Think about it. What did Jesus say about taxes? He didn't directly answer the question about whether taxes to Caesar are lawful. Instead, he asked the people around him if they had a coin of the type that was used to pay tax. Somebody brought to him a denarius. He asked them to look at the coin and tell him whose image was on there. and what the words printed on it said. The inscription read, Tiberius Claudius Nero Caesar. The image was a profile bust of the same ruler. We have copies of these coins in museums today. Jesus then told them, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. Not only did this answer approve of taxes to Caesar in particular, it also gives approval for secular government in general. Did you hear that? Secular government in general. Caesar was not Christian or Jewish. The Romans were, by standards of Jewish and Christian morality, immoral and rapacious. Their rulers were not any better than the average, and some of their emperors were simply awful. We have history and records of them today that this is very obvious. You think of Tiberius' successors, Emperor Nero and Caligula. They just happen to come to mind. And yet Jesus said to those men, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Jesus' approval of government was the basis for St. Paul's discourse on the same subject in Romans 13, 1-7. And I read this at length. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. End of quote. Now you need to observe that neither Jesus nor St. Paul made any exceptions to the rule, render to Caesar. They did not say, render to Caesar only if he is a good ruler, or render to Caesar only if he is a Christian. They simply said, render to Caesar. That is, give government the obedience that is its due. The only exception to this is when an explicit command of the ruler is in direct contradiction to an explicit command of Christ. In that case, render to God takes priority, and then we must obey God rather than man. Acts chapter 5:29. This Christian principle of obedience to government applies to many things in your life. Besides paying your taxes on time and in the proper amount, render to Caesar means that you must obey all traffic laws, including the speed limits. Register at the county courthouse when you intend to marry or cohabit with a person of the opposite sex. Register with the U.S. government for selective service. Appear in court when you are summoned. And give proper respect to officers of the government, including the president, Congress, police, sheriff, and firemen. And that's not even to speak of breaking the law, criminal law, or otherwise. Finally, we Christians owe government our prayers. That is, we should pray to God on behalf of rulers and all authorities. St. Paul commands this very thing in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1-3. He says, "I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So the next time you pick up a coin, look at its image and remember Jesus' words, "Render to Caesar." In Jesus' name, amen.